Good morning. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning and to join you for worship. The passage that was read from Isaiah, really an Advent passage and a good jump start to the Christmas season. I don't know, all during the week, I've been hearing that Christmas is early this year. You heard that? Christmas is early. Christmas is going to happen faster this year. And I thought, what did they do? Did they move it up? You know, have I not been listening? But apparently what they're talking about is Thanksgiving was so late. Okay, you know, Thanksgiving, which is on the fourth Thursday of November, was as late this year as it could possibly be because the first of November fell on a Friday. And so that means that there are fewer shopping days. And I know that's been a burden and probably been on the top of your church's prayer list in terms of how we are going to cope with fewer shopping days this year. But the scripture in terms of from Isaiah and keying off on joy and God keeping his promises. There was a cartoon, and you know, today and with the internet and instant access to almost anything, I have been searching for this physical cartoon. I've gotten the description of it, but I have not been able to actually find it. So, I mean, I had hoped to find it so it could be projected up there with the cartoon. But here is it. Here it is. That the cartoon consists of two women who are standing by a well. Each of the women have a bucket. And the one woman is fretting and worrying and obviously distraught. And she says, every time I fill this bucket, in just a minute, the water is all gone. And the other woman, also with an empty bucket, just said, I am so blessed. Every time my bucket is empty, I can just let it down and fill it up again. Now, which of those women would you identify with? Where is your bucket? Empty? And we fret about it? Or ready to fill? Where is your joy this holiday season? Where is your joy this Christmas? You know, there are a couple of things that are real impediments to joy. The first we're going to talk about is hurry. Hurry is an impediment to joy. Have you ever been with somebody who just constantly tells you, hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. It'll break your heart. You lose your joy. You know, hurrying is a way during this season to lose your joy. It is an impediment to joy. You know, I would just encourage you during this time, and because a lot of people are under a great deal of stress during these seasons, and it can be important for you to simply share your joy, to share who you are with people by, for instance, if you're in one of the many lines that you're going to encounter over this season, whether it be in the supermarket or the Walmart or a line in an automobile waiting through the traffic. You know, to be able to stop, and the person who is serving you, the waitress, the checkout person, just to engage that person and make full eye contact with them. Make full eye contact with them. And if it's not, too bad, physically touch them in some way. It can just be tiny, tiny, tiny touch. Physically touch them, make eye contact with them. And then, you know, many of the people who service us, whether it be in a restaurant or a supermarket, most of them are wearing name tags. And so fully engage them with your eyes. Call them by name. How are you doing? Share a bit of a simple smile with them. Engage them with that spirit of joy. You know, sometimes the reactions are incredible. There is one, and that is the brief touch. And I'm not talking, okay, just a brief touch. There was a scientific study done, and this was at a supermarket. And the people who were involved in the study had been told either to avoid all touch with the cashier, or they had been specifically given the instructions, you know, randomly, just let your hand run across their hand, or when you're giving them the money, make sure that your hand touches their hand. After it was, the experiment was over, they interviewed people. And the question was, what was your experience in that store? And invariably, the people who had been touched had a positive experience. And the people who didn't were neutral or negative. Share your joy. Touch someone. You know, I always find it, sometimes the reactions are a little bit crazy. I always find it at the Walmart. You know, the people wear these aprons. And you know, on the back of the apron, it says, "I really love my job." And so one of the guys, he was stocking the shelves or whatever. And I went up, I laid my hand on his shoulder, and I said, "I'm so glad you love your job." You know, he looked around and said, "What in the world?" Engage. Engage. Don't let hurry ruin your Christmas joy. You know, as you look at that scripture, the images are, you've been in darkness, there is great light, and it is that a child has been given to us. A son has been born. So this joy is a pregnancy. Can you hurry up a pregnancy? I mean, any of you women who've given birth, you may have been at a time when you wish you could have hurried up the pregnancy, but you can't do it. It takes its time. And so the God's promise of joy is a promise also of a time of waiting, a time of expectation, a time of preparation until the baby is born. And then even after the baby is born, those wonderful words, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and his government and its peace will never end. Now, those are not things for a baby. That means we've had to wait for this baby to go through the toddler phase, the terrible twos, the teenage years. There has been that waiting until the King, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Another impediment to your joy during this Advent season is worrying. Hurrying and worrying. You know, in our world today, there is so much in your life and in your family. There is so much that you may be tempted to worry about. But you know what the Scripture tells us? Our worrying does no good. You cannot change a single thing by your worrying about it. The Scripture says, can you grow your hair any longer by worrying about it? You know, can you make your age slow down by worrying about it? It's simply not possible. There is nothing, nothing, nothing that we should be worrying about. Worry, stewing in our worry, is an impediment to our joy. I know that it's also said, well, that's easier said than done. You know, not to worry about things. But the Scripture gives us an alternative. It says, worry about nothing, but pray about everything. So those things that may be heavy on your heart, make those the things that you are constantly in prayer for your family, for your community, for places in this world. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. The Scripture that we read this morning started out with an image of people sitting in darkness. Sitting in darkness. I know we moved out to this area in 2000. And we were the first family to move into a development on the other side of the Chester County Airport called Quarry Ridge. And when we occupied our house, and none of the other houses, most of them were still under construction, or none of them were occupied. And I went to the developer after the first night that we'd been in our house. And I asked the developer, when are you going to put the streetlights in? And the developer said, streetlights? He says, we don't have streetlights out here. And I said, well, why not? I mean, I'm from Philadelphia. You know, lights, right? And he says, oh, we like the dark. We like the dark. You know, we're able to look up into the sky. You know, we like the dark. Well, I've noticed, I guess when I moved out here in about 2000, you could. There was some times when you could see darkness. But anymore around here, there is never any dark anyway. As dark as it is, there's always some glow on the horizon. Do you know what true, absolute darkness is? Have you ever sat in the darkness? When I was a young man, I had joined the Peace Corps and had been sent to Lima as a Peace Corps volunteer. And my responsibility in the Peace Corps was to work in a squatter settlement of about 50,000 people, helping them develop their educational system. Now, this is a squatter settlement where literally just people come from villages or towns or communities or the Sierra and squat and take whatever materials that they can find and construct a hovel. Maybe just a cardboard box, or most of them will purchase woven split bamboo mats. And the woven split bamboo mats become the walls of and the ceilings of their houses. And it had been my responsibility and my joy, really, to serve among them and to build my own little hovel. You know, dirt floor, no water, no electricity, split bamboo mat walls, and to live among them. One day, I had gone into Lima. The only sort of services in that barriada was the city bus. There was a city bus service that went a part way into the community. And I had gotten busy in Lima, and I had taken the very last bus back to that community. And as we approached the community, I looked around in the bus, and I realized that I was the only one left on the bus. It was late. As we pulled into the community and got to the place where the bus stopped in that community, and I got down out of the bus totally by myself, the bus made a circle in order to head back out of the community. And I watched as the headlights of the bus just sort of scanned the community. And I got my direction. I knew where my house was. And when the bus was headed in the other direction, I realized I cannot see a thing. Nothing. There was no light. It was pitch dark. I began to sort of shuffle. There was no pavement or anything, no sidewalks. I just sort of shuffling along, hands out. Have you ever heard that old expression, you can't see your hand in front of your face? I put it up. You know, literally, I could not see my hand in front of my face. It was total, total darkness. I began to wonder, how am I ever going to get home? How am I going to find my way? And as I was shuffling along, all of a sudden, I had this terrifying feeling. I wasn't alone. I stopped. I listened. I didn't hear anything. But as I just sort of looked over there, I saw a cigarette. A cigarette. Do you realize how much light a cigarette gives? I looked over there and there was a cigarette. And as I shuffled, the cigarette moved. And when I stopped, the cigarette stopped. And as I just sort of stood there, the cigarette ran and circled me. And I realized, I'm in trouble. I am in trouble. And at about that time, inside one of the houses made out of split bamboo, a family lit a candle. One candle. Inside a house. That light was sufficient. Into the darkness, the light of one candle had shone. I ran to that light, knocking on their door. Help me, help me. I'm the gringo. Help me, help me. Tentatively, they opened the door. And I pointed out into the darkness at that cigarette. And I said, see, that person is following me. And they took their one little candle and walked me to my house. One candle. Promise of God, the joy making it home safely. In your darkness, light a candle. During this Advent season, the promise of God, don't curse the darkness. Light a candle. In the name of Jesus, amen.